morning. Are we all refreshed?
Yes.
Some of us are still a bit husky, but praise God we are here, and we are here for one reason, to worship the Lord and to hear his word. And this morning, I started to think about the new year, and we're quite close, aren't we, to 2020? And at this time of the year, most people start to think, oh, what New Year's resolution should I make? I'm going to start that diet on the 1st of January. I am. I keep saying I am. But it won't last. It won't last. I've done it many years before, and I've made New Year's resolutions. And do they last? Go on, hands up if you've made a New Year's resolution ever in your life. Even as a child, maybe. Did they last?
No.
No. No, they don't last. But there's something that lasts forever. And Jesus is here this morning. And he has a word for us this morning that I believe will last forever, and it won't get broken, because God does not break his promises. And he's brought us a really good word this morning, I believe. And I believe it's the right time as well. God spoke to me with this word many months ago, and I shared it with Pastor Steve. And we didn't know when the time would be, but God's time is perfect. And I do believe this morning there's a reason that we're bringing this word to you this morning. And I just praise God that he provides. So it's not about me, not from me. I'm just delivering it this morning. This is God's word. Going back several months ago, we had some morning prayer sessions. Not everybody could make it. People were working. People don't live in the area close enough to the church to come. But Sonny, Phil and I were praying one morning. We were praying for this community. We were praying for the community of Oral. And we prayed that God would show us who to speak to, who to share a tract with, who to share a word with, and who to share the gospel with. I don't know whether you remember Sonny and Phil, but it was a beautiful morning. I think there was only the three of us here. And the Holy Spirit gave us a word that morning, and it was a really strong word that spoke to me. And it was, don't hold back. And it's something that probably, if I'm going to be honest, as a young Christian, I did hold back. There's been many times where I felt that the Lord was telling me to do something and maybe I didn't do it. Lack of obedience, but I didn't listen. I was a bit scared. Oh no, I can't do that. I'm little Ruth Horton from Oral. I can't possibly do that. I can't possibly do what the Lord's asking me to do. But deep in my heart, I knew that he wanted me to do something. Don't hold back. It really got me thinking, we mustn't hold back. God wants us to be bold and be strong. Amen? Bold and strong? Have we got energy for that this morning? Bold and strong. We're going to be bold and strong. We're going out into this world, and it is a bit like a battle as a Christian. We're going out to battle. A battle which, if you are a believer, then praise God, you're already on the winning side. Yeah? Amen. Already on the winning side. When Joshua led the Israelite tribes to the conquest of Canaan, he told the followers not to hold back. And when we read in Joshua 10:25, Joshua told them, don't hold back, don't be timid, be strong, be confident. This is what God will do to all your enemies when you fight. We're on the winning side already. We're on the winning side. Jesus died on the cross to save us. It is finished, was the cry. I believe that we mustn't hold back. That's why I'm here this morning. I'm just being obedient. Pastor Steve asked me to speak. I said I'd bring the word, and that's what I'm doing. I don't want to hold back any longer. I don't want to be that little girl that listened to the voice but didn't do, wasn't obedient. I want to be obedient. Just think about Pastor Steve as our leader within this church. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. Does Pastor Steve hold back?
No.
Is he timid?
No.
Is he weak?
No.
Or is he strong and confident for the Lord?
Yes.
I think you're all going to say yes. Even if you're not answering out loud, you're saying in your head, oh boy, is he strong? Is he out there? Does he get passionate about the word of the Lord? Does he jump up the aisle sometimes? Yes, he does. He is confident and he is bold and he is strong, but it's because he has a passion for the word of God. He's a man of God, and he reminds us often that there is stealing the word of God. Pastor Steve shows that steal in his daily walk with the Lord, and so should we. And I'm sure that many of you do. Most of the days. Sometimes, once a week, twice a week. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, how many times do we hold it back? Let's have that steal in us as a church. I think it's wonderful this morning there's so many of us here, because we didn't think, Bev and I were talking at the beginning, we didn't think there'd be many here. This is great. And I hope that this word speaks to each one of you this morning. Whatever age we are, the youngest child that's just gone outside, little Isabella, to the oldest, I won't point to who the oldest is, but to the oldest, don't hold back, because you can do work for the Lord no matter what age you are. Doesn't matter how old we are, age has no number, doesn't matter. Pastor Steve has steel in his walk, in his daily walk with the Lord, and I believe that so should we. In Luke 6, 38, we read, "Don't hold back, give freely, and you'll have plenty poured back into your lap. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, brimming over, you'll receive in the same measure that you give." Hallelujah. If anybody's given for work for the Lord, you know what that feels like. You know what that means. It means something that you can't actually put into words. I talked when it was the children's service just before Christmas about joy, and I always like to liken that to joy. You get that joy in your heart. You're doing the work for the Lord, and you feel his love each day grow as you do that work. Don't hold back. Now, I'm doing something a bit different this morning. I like doing different things. But I'm going to put a little video on, and Phil's kindly put it on the screen for us. And I just want you to watch it first of all. We might play it twice, but I just want you to watch it first of all. We've got two animals. The first is a polar bear. Okay, it's Sunday morning. The alarm goes off. You're lying in bed. Oh, one more snooze. Just have another snooze. I'll have another snooze. Oh, gotta go to church this morning. Oh, I'll have to go and have a shower. Oh, I should have washed my hair last night and been more prepared. Oh, it's church. Are you that polar bear? Or are you that penguin? Oh, it's Sunday morning, it's church, come on, let's go to church, I can't wait, let's go to church, we're going to church this morning. I'm going to be honest, some Sundays, not very often though, some Sundays I do snooze my alarm and have a few more sleeps, but I can't wait to come on a Sunday. Can you wait to come on a Sunday, to come to this fellowship and be together? Are you like the penguin jumping up in the morning? Yeah, we're going to church, going to church. You might not be physically able to jump around, I'm not saying that. But in your heart, do you really want to come? Or is it a drag like the polar bear? Oh, I can't really be bothered, but I'll have to go. Pastor Steve might notice my empty chair because I sit in the same place every week. If you turn up for worship and prayer like a sluggish polar bear, are you likely to soak up the word? Are you going to be led by the Spirit? Or would it be better to be like the penguin, full of life and energy, not just on a Sunday, but every day? Consider that this morning. Be excited about your work for the Lord. Walk with enthusiasm and commitment. God has done a great thing for us. He sent Jesus to save us from the consequences of our sins. He set us free. He broke every chain. We shouldn't be like that polar bear, should we? Think about that, what God has done for us. Yet sometimes we're a bit like that polar bear. And we don't want to come to church. We can't really be bothered. Oh, I'm going to have to read my Bible again today. Dear me, what a bind. Can you be like that penguin? Enthusiastic for the word of God. Enthusiastic for what he has done for us. And what he's going to do for us. Can we be like that penguin? I'm hoping those images will stick in your mind, because they stuck in my mind when I watched them. And when I get that little moment of, right, stop being a polar bear, Ruth, let's be a penguin, come on. Listen, friends, I really do mean this morning that we mustn't hold back. And I've used Pastor Steve as our example, as the leader of our church. What a brilliant role model he is. He doesn't hold back from sharing the word of the Lord, and he doesn't hold back about coming to church or any of the other times, prayer meeting, the college in the week, small group. It's not just about Sunday mornings. It's not just about Sunday evenings. It's everything that goes on within the week. It's everything that you do, even when you're going into the shop across the road and you're going in the co-op. And I normally bump into Sunny in there. I believe that we should seize the day. And this is where I feel it's appropriate for this time of year, because I think at this time of year, people do start to reflect on what is going to come in the year ahead. Seize the day. Seize 2020. Get it with both hands. Seize that moment. Seize the opportunities that God puts before us each day. Grasp it with both hands. Grab it and keep it. And listen to what the Lord wants you to do. Life is filled with opportunities, isn't it? But the big question is what we do with them. Are we following the right opportunities that God has provided us with? Or do we let them slip away? Maybe next time. There's always another day. Or do we seize them? Do we take those opportunities each time? And when you actually start to think about, not ages and not numbers, but things that are going on around in the world, you hear of people, somebody that I know of, not know them very well, got knocked over not many miles from here, dead on the spot, life ended. I don't believe that they were a Christian. Time's precious. I'm not going to get all maudly and all morbid, but time is precious, and you never know when those days are up. God has you in your hands, and he knows exactly when that time is. We're reminded in the Bible to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That's in Psalm 90. Or, as other versions put it, teach us to number our days and recognise how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. As we venture into 2020 this year, are we going to spend every opportunity as we should? Or are we just going to let them pass away? The work of the Lord is so important, and we mustn't mess around with it. We need to be really serious about it. I looked in the dictionary when God was giving me this word, because I wanted to know what the word seize meant. And in the dictionary, seize says to take up an opportunity eagerly and decisively. Polar bear or penguin? I think I like to waddle like a penguin. The question today is, are we eager? Are we decisive? Or are we listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? And if we're listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we won't go wrong. Are we seizing the opportunities to enable God to change lives? Or are we holding back? I thought about an example of me in the workplace. As most of you know, I work in a school. And for years, people didn't really know much about me from a personal point of view. I kept it all hidden under a bushel. They didn't know I came to church. They didn't know I was a Christian. They could probably tell by some of the things I did and the way I was. But I didn't share it openly. Are we hiding these things from the people around us, or are we sharing them? Are we sharing who we are? Because that's what we need to do to impact on other people's lives. We need to share God's word. We know God's word as Christians. And if you're not a Christian today, you soon will be. Amen. In Ephesians 5:15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Be led by the Holy Spirit, be sensitive, be eager, decisive to do God's will. Reminded often in Romans 8, and it really lifts me every time I think about Romans 8, and Sunny's gone now, but when we had our week of prayer, Romans 8 just kept coming to me all the time. And I just want to remind us all of some of those verses in there. Because what God tells us in Romans 8 is that God chose you. We didn't choose him. You think you did. Most of us think we did. We think that we were the ones that said, right, I'm going to make a decision now. I'm going to choose God. God had already chosen you. God chose us. But are we holding back from what he wants us to do? Because he chose us. He's got a job for us. He's got a plan and a purpose for our lives. For every single one of you here today, a plan and a purpose, no matter what age we are, the youngest to the oldest, a plan and a purpose for us to do the work for his kingdom here on earth. In the Bible, Jesus told the story of a man who went on a journey. And he left his money with his servants. Now, in those days, in many cases, the servants might be better educated and skilled than he was. When the owner would go on a journey, he would leave full authority in the hands of these servants. A bit like today, if you're like a power of attorney. So what's Jesus' story saying to us? Well, when I started to study the Bible more, it became more clear. Jesus is like that wealthy man who goes on a journey, which spans the day he left this earth to the day he returns to the second coming. We are the servants he's invested in. Each one of us here this morning, he has invested in us. And we are to take what he's given us and use it for his glory while we await his return. That's the purpose of our lives. Yet sometimes we still hold back. In the New Testament, a word that's often used for slave or servant is the Greek word doulos. And I never know whether I'm saying it correctly. Reverend Wendy might correct me on that. Is it doulos or doulos? A doulos was someone who had been freed by their master, yet still chose to serve out of love. The servant was so thankful for his pardon that he or she would willfully choose to serve, even though they didn't really need to be there anymore serving them. Christ has paid an incredible debt for us. He's pardoned us. He's forgiven us. Jesus came to the cross and died to save us from the consequences of our sins. And now we should become those voluntary servants. Not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him, because he loves us. And he chose us to do his work on earth until the day he comes again. I'm getting quite excited. I don't know about you. I'm getting quite excited. I can feel it all coming up. We're doing that job. Are you doing that job? Because we need to be in it together. We're a family. We're a family here at Living Faith Church, and we need to do that job for the Lord. Not because we want to. Not because we have to, sorry. Because we want to. Because we love him and he loves us. We're more than servants, though, because Pastor Steve reminds us regularly, doesn't he? Actually, we're priests. Oh, I'm getting even more excited now. I didn't quite like the idea of being a servant, but a priest. Whoa, we are priests. We are the royal priesthood for the Lord.
Amen.
I remember Pastor Dennis sharing a testimony a few months ago. And it sounds bad, but I can't actually remember what the testimony was, because it wasn't so much about the testimony as what he said afterwards. And he said, why do we do these things? Why do we share a testimony? And what's stuck in my mind is, it's because God loves us and we love him. Daniela shared that beautiful testimony this morning about Isabella. Daniela has a heart for the Lord. God loves her, she loves him. They have a relationship, and Isabella was protected due to that love and that relationship. We share a testimony to show God's love because we love him and he loves us. We build each other's faith in sharing testimonies of what God has done for each of us. And I keep thinking about John Gorn, for those of you that know him or heard him when he was here last. One of his songs that he sings, "Love is the key." Love is the key. And love is the key. And as Pastor Dennis reminded us when he shared that testimony, that is why we do these things, because we love him and he loves us. God loves us unconditionally. He sent his son to die on the cross to set us free from our sins. Praise God.
Amen.
Can I hear it?
Amen.
Amen. We are a royal priesthood, completing God's work for the kingdom here on earth until the glorious day when he comes again. And God has equipped us for that work. God has given us certain gifts, certain talents. He's given us everything. But we need to use them. We need to put them into action. We need to do it. I shared a testimony not all that long ago, and Louise laughed and said we might get some T-shirts made up with "Just Do It" on the front. Don't hold back, just do it. We need to do it. If you know that you've got a gift or a talent this morning, pray about it. Come and pray with myself and Pastor Bev after the service, because God wants you to use those gifts. He wants you to use those talents. Otherwise, they'll strip away and you'll not use them for his glory. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20, Paul wrote, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." And Jesus said, "If any of you wants to be followers, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me." It simply means we recognize that it all belongs to God. Our lives belong to God. Our families belong to God. We've had a beautiful testimony about that this morning. Our possessions belong to God. Everything is his. In Romans 8 again, it keeps coming back to me, Romans 8. Can't run away from this chapter of the Bible. "And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose." God chose us. Just reminded you of that earlier. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Is that not amazing? Is that not just awesome? Is that not just wonderful? I think that is just the best thing. He chose us. We wouldn't be here today if God hadn't chosen you. I wouldn't be stood here this morning if God hadn't chosen me to share this word, and I just hope that you're greatly blessed by what God is sharing this morning. In John 15, we find out that Jesus really does believe in you. Yes, you, every one of you, every single one of you. You as well, Ruth, my other little Ruth over there. But I'm not going to do anything with worms, Ruth, this morning. She's not this. In John 15, we find out that Jesus really does believe in you. "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Are you getting excited? I'm getting excited. We are doing God's work here on earth, but we have got to do it. We can't just sit back in 2020 and think it's all just going to happen for us. We've got to do something too. We've got to do it. Those gifts, those talents that God has put in you, we need to use them. Otherwise they will be stale and they'll just fade away. I think about some of the things that are going on in the world at the moment that can bring us down and make us feel a bit depressed and a bit fed up. I heard the news about that road accident not far from here, and there's two people there that my husband knew and his family knew, and they were killed outright. No chance to say goodbye to anybody, just killed outright. But if we focus on those things, we're focusing on the wrong things. We need to focus on God. And those sufferings that we see in these present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us if we do God's will here on earth. God never demands too much of us. He knows our abilities. He's given them to us. He'll never ask too much of us. If you'd have asked me that a week ago when Pastor Steve first asked me to speak today, I was a bit, am I going to be able to do that on a Sunday morning? Little Ruth Horton, little Ruth Ormisher as she was from Oral. Can I really deliver God's word on a Sunday morning? But we do need to be obedient and we need to use those abilities. I would never have thought for a minute, maybe a year ago, that I'd be stood here taking a full service. And what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. If someone had told me it last year, I think I probably would have denied it and said, oh, go on, there's no way. I've got to be stood up there. No way. No, 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 no chance. But I'm just being obedient this morning and I'm just listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me and leading me to do. God spoke clearly to me about this today. And I stand here being obedient. We may not all have the same talent, but we should be equal in effort. Take what God has given to you and do the most with what you can with it for his glory. No matter how small, the coffees that get served are such a blessing after the service on a Sunday. The coffee mornings that Bev shared about today. All those things, some may seem small, making a cup of coffee after the service, baking a cake and bringing it to church, but you're still doing God's will and you're blessing other people with the work that you're doing. God can do a lot with a little. And if you don't believe me, just look around this building. Because the beautiful testimony that we have of this church in Oral, it touches my heart every time I think about it. I get quite emotional. But when we first started looking for a new premises, we talked about having extensions at the other church. We got quotes from builders. There were extortionate quotes that we just didn't have enough budget for. And then we got told about this building. Well, two buildings. And we ended up with two buildings for the price of less than one. Does that make sense? For the price of less than one. We sold the other church and we got two buildings. It's almost impossible when you actually start to do the sums on paper. And Bev started with that beautiful word about nothing is impossible with God. Praise God, look at these two buildings that we've got. That we can do God's work within these two buildings and we can take God's word out to this community and beyond. I just think it's absolutely amazing what God has provided us with. It really is. If we humble ourselves, take what we have and offer it to God, if we're willing to do it and he's placed it before us already, and you're faithful in the little things, then he will give us more to do and we will get more from it. And that these two buildings are an example of just that. We were faithful, we prayed, we listened, we took time. Sometimes we felt like, oh, we need it now, we need it next week. But we took time over that decision as a church and we prayed. We took it to the Lord in prayer and he provided this wonderful facility that we've got here that we know he's got great plans for to do more in the future. God's work should and must come first, and every second really does count. I just want to encourage everybody this morning, and I'm not standing here as a perfect model. I really am not. There's no such thing as perfection other than the Lord. And I stand here listening to these words again, and even though I've prepared for today and the Holy Spirit is still speaking to me now, that I feel I can do more in life for the Lord. And there's some times still now that I've thought, oh, have I got time for that? But do you know, God provides that time. I always feel that I'm really busy at work, but God provides time. He provides time for me to fill in grant forms for the church that Pastor Steve asked me to do, or that comes up on the internet. He's provided time for me to do this little leaflet today to give to you afterwards for anybody that wants to take a copy. It provides time, and sometimes when I actually sit down after I've done some of the work for the Lord, be it paperwork, be it grants, be it just taking some time to pray and read my Bible, I can't quite fit it into the day how I've done it. Does that ever happen to you? Sometimes I can't quite get my head round how I've done all that. And then I'll read things back that I've written down. I might have done a Bible study and I've made notes, or this that's sitting in front of me today. And I think, did I do that? Did Ruth do that? Like, I can't have done that. I've not got the capabilities to do that. But it's because it's come from the Lord, and he finds that time for you. So please don't use time as an excuse. I used to use time as an excuse. Oh, I'm a busy assistant head teacher at school, and I've got far too many things to do. I've not got time to go to prayer meeting on a Wednesday. God will create that time, and it's amazing that when you do yield to the Lord and yield to his work, that other things then come, and you actually find you're fitting more things in to a day. Does that make sense? Anybody else can testify to that? Because I just think it's amazing. Pat's waving away at the back. It's like, hey, did you fit all that in? It's because God's got you in his hands. God's got it all there for you. And many times he'll have gone before. It's just wonderful. I was thinking about the time when we went to Tenby and we were giving out tracts. And I don't know if anybody does give out tracts, or whether you have them in your bags and you give them to friends or people that you might meet. But sometimes you get prompted to speak to somebody, and it's really good if you've got a little tract in your bag or in your back pocket, because it's an easy way to speak to them. And I'm not going to step on Mauricio's toes, but Mauricio's has got that gift from God about sharing tracts and about sharing God's word in some quite unique and different ways. But Mauricio really encouraged me when we were in Tenby this last time, because the time before we gave tracts out and God highlighted people to us who to give them to. And Mauricio shared some other gifts and talents that he had, and he really encouraged us to continue to share the word. And sometimes we do hold back from giving tracts. But you know, if it's led by the Lord, it will come easily and they will be received. And I know some people have sometimes said that, oh, they got it thrown back in the face, and it's fine. It's fine, because it's landed on deaf ears. But actually, a seed may have been planted at the same time. We don't know. We don't know. They may have just seen that title on that tract. If you're led by the Spirit to pray for someone, I would encourage you to do it. And this is something that I used to hold back on. And I knew that God was saying to me, pray for them. I've been in the shops and I've actually felt prompted to pray for someone. And I was so scared as a young Christian. Oh, no, Lord, I'm not praying for that person now in the middle of Asda. Everybody will just laugh at me. If you know it's from the Lord, be obedient and do it. Don't let that pass by. And around the same time that God was revealing this service to me today, I went into a pet shop in Pemberton, and there was a lady, and you could see she was in pain. She was really holding herself, and you could really see that she was in agony. And I went over to her, and I just felt the Holy Spirit was saying she needs prayer. So I said, are you in pain? And she said, oh, she said, my back is terrible. terrible. She said, it's absolutely terrible. So I told her of a friend that I knew, Jesus, that could help her. And I prayed in the pet shop. And my knees were shaking. I got a little bit nervous. I was shaking a little bit scared. But bam, the Holy Spirit was with me. And all that fear just went. And I prayed for that lady in the pet shop. And her face was just full of the joy of the Lord afterwards. It was a feeling that I can't describe. Oh, it was just so wonderful. And she couldn't stop thanking me as I left. I don't know what will happen to that lady, but God will do the rest. Just encourage you today not to hold back and to do. When you are prompted by the Lord, just to listen and do it. My dad used to say to me when I was at school, give it a go. Because if you don't give something a go, you don't know. Now, not the wrong things, obviously the right things. So clubs, like judo. So I'll tell you a little story. Please don't laugh. Do you remember the days when corduroy fleurs were in? Yeah. Not the fleurs that Pastor Steve talks about, but I had some corduroy fleurs. They were black, and I loved them. I thought I was the bee's knees in them when I put them on. I was like, oh, I've got these lovely corduroy fleurs. And we went down to Holgate School, and they started a judo club, and my friend went to the judo club, so I went with her. And she said to me, she said, do you want to give judo a go? I went, oh. Yeah, go on then. Yeah, go on, I'll have a go. I'll give judo a go. And I got thrown on the mat and my corduroy pants split. They split right up the back in the place that you really wouldn't want them to split if you're a lady. And they were a mess. I thought, oh, my dad's going to go mad. I'm going to have to go home to my mum and dad and I'm going to have to tell them about these pants. So I put my cardigan round, tied it round and covered the big rip. And I went home in tears. I said, Dad, I said, I've given judo a go. I said, you know when you always say give things a go, you'll not know whether you like it or not if you don't give things a go. Do you think my dad was harsh with me? No. Because he loved me. Just like God loves us, he wasn't harsh with me. I'd done the wrong thing in one way. I should have had the right gear on. I should have gone prepared. But he wasn't harsh with me. He loves me. And we laugh about it today. And anybody that knows my dad, I think you can probably imagine his reaction. I'll not use the words he used, but it was a disaster, judo. I never went back, didn't try it again. I bet many of us can think of times when you've thought of having a go at things and you've given it a go and it's been a disaster. But then I tried playing the flute. And the flute wasn't quite a disaster. Took a lot of effort, it took a lot of time. Played it at Polland High School in the band, went to Germany, toured Germany, had the privilege of doing that, it was great. And then many, many, many years afterwards, I sat in a service at Winstanley Free Methodist Church, as it still was then, I think it might have just turned into Living Faith Church around that time. And I remember sitting there, and I could hear the flute playing as the worship team were up at the front. And I thought, what are you telling me, Lord? Do I need to put my hand up and say that I'll come and volunteer to Bev to be in the worship team? And I did. And I've never looked back. And it's an absolute privilege and joy to be part of the worship team at Living Faith Church, beautifully led by Bev, who does an amazing job. If we don't try things and fail sometimes and never try at all, well, we won't know whether we can do it. And that's something that stuck in my mind in the pet shop that day. If I'd not prayed for that lady, she would have still been in pain. She would have still had that pain. I didn't want that lady to have that pain because I had a love in my heart for her. God had put that love there for that lady. We need to try things. And sometimes you have this fear that you're going to mess up, but God is with you and you won't mess up if the Lord is with you and it's directed by the Lord. I promise you that, you won't mess up. There's been many times since then that I've shared a word and thought, oh, I hope I'm saying the right thing and is this right? Lord, is this right? And he confirms it to you that it's right and it's the right thing to do. God won't be harsh with you if you do mess up. Just like my dad wasn't harsh with me about my ripped pants. He's not harsh with us because he loves us. He loves us so much He loves us so, so much that he won't be harsh with us. And he forgives us of the things that we do wrong, and we know that. Don't know about you, but sometimes I see adverts on the television. I don't watch a lot of the telly, but there's an advert that was out many years ago. I'm showing my age now, I think. And it was the martini advert. Does anybody remember it? Martini. Any time, any place, anywhere. Do you remember it, anybody? No? Yeah? Any time, any place, anywhere. And I kept thinking about that. Any time, any place, anywhere. Don't like martini. Can't say I've ever really tried it, to be honest. I don't like the smell of it. I don't really have any contact with martini, and I have no desire to. But any time, any place, anywhere for the Lord.
Amen.
Any time, any place, anywhere for the Lord. Are we there and ready? Any time, any place, anywhere. Be fully and wholly open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Any time, any place, anywhere. And sometimes it is in the most bizarre places. In a corridor at work. In the toilets, the ladies' toilets. That happened in Tenby. Any time, any place, anywhere. It's better to try than never take chances and never have anything happen, because God is with you. And if God is with you, it won't go wrong. He's got your back. He's there. If you are directed by the Lord to do something and you know it's from God, he is with you and he's got your back. Following him can lead to making difficult choices. Do I pray in public? Do I not pray in public? Could be a difficult choice. But we must take the gospel seriously. And if you've got a call from God and you know that, you must listen and follow it. Don't let it get stripped away. Sometimes in the past, I've already admitted, I've not always been obedient. Don't make it happen too late. Make it happen now. Seize that day. You could change the rest of your life today by seizing that gift, that talent, or that opportunity that the Lord is leading you to. When Pastor Steve emailed me a few weeks ago asking what to preach today, the temptation could have been to say, oh no, not me. That's not for me. Or I could have ummed and ahed, I'll let you know next week. But I didn't. I emailed straight back and I said, thank you so much for the opportunity. And I knew immediately which word I was going to share today. I knew immediately. God had already planned it all. It was already there. It was already in place. It's a privilege to stand here and share this word this morning. And I just pray that you are open to what's being shared. It's not from me. It's from the Lord. It really is this morning. God prepares things in advance. He's got your back. You don't need to be scared. You don't need to hold back. Just yield to what the Lord is asking you to do. I'm just going to share that the word today, when Pastor Steve emailed, I'd already actually had a word from the Lord that it was going to be at this service. And that was at trustees' meeting when we were talking about which services. And the Lord spoke to me in that trustees' meeting. And I didn't share it. I just felt it wasn't the right time to share it. But God said to me, that's when you need to preach that word that I've given you, seize the day. That's when you need to preach about the grace-filled obedience. Because that's when people are going to be thinking about the new year ahead. And if you're thinking about 2020 and what God has in store for you, then I just encourage you this morning to seize it. Seize life with both hands. Seize the word of the Lord with both hands. Grasp it. Follow what he wants you to do. Phil, could you just put the picture up, please? Unfortunately, the picture on the screen behind isn't that clear, but the words around it says, the best of all, God is with us. And that was a stained glass window at the birthplace of John Wesley. And it stuck with me since the day that we visited. God is with us. God is with each of us every minute of every day. But are we with him? Are we going to be with him in 2020 every minute of every day? Are we going to let life get too busy? Are we going to let things drift away? Are those talents and opportunities that the Lord has given us going to fade into insignificance? Or are we going to grasp them? Are we going to be that penguin? Are we going to be that penguin? Put a little challenge out to you there. You can all come in black and white next week and waddle up the aisles like this. Let's just seize that day and seize that moment. Seize the opportunities that God has put before you. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's a little leaflet. I don't know whether anybody would like to take a copy. I've put some copies on the front. And it's a little bit more detail, really, about grace-filled obedience and about being obedient to the word of the Lord. And it's backed up with several scriptures. So I'll leave that there for you, because I did feel that the Lord really wanted me to share that as well today. And maybe in small groups, people could read in further detail about that during the small group time. I just thank God for each one of you here today. And, you know, I love you all. I really do love being a member of Living Faith Church. You are my family. And sometimes we don't get time, do we, to speak after every service. But let's take time to be together and encourage each other. And if God has spoken to you through the word this morning, please feel free to come and speak to myself or Bev at the end, and we will pray with you. Because he just wants us to do our best for him. And he just wants us to be obedient. And actually, it's not that hard. When you actually give it a go, it's not that hard. Amen. Thank you, everybody.